Hello and welcome back to another episode of Horribly Happy. I'm your host, Jenna.
And I'm your host, Sophie.
We're back this week again with some more chit-chat and stories for you.
Hey.
Hey, how are we doing, Soph?
Good. It's a Sunday. I've had a very Sunday of Sundays because I did something every night the past week.
Which is great for you.
Yeah, it's all been fun things.
Yeah.
But I'm exhausted. So I just, you know, like grocery shop, did some laundry, took a nap, took Holly for a walk.
You love naps.
Dude, I love naps.
How many times do you not nap in a week?
Oh. Well, I don't usually nap during the week.
Okay.
Like after work, because I feel like it kind of messes me up.
Yeah.
So it's just if I'm like free in the afternoons on a Saturday or Sunday, I like to nap.
I love that for you.
Yeah.
I probably nap like once a year. And it's always when I'm a little bit hungover. And I wake up from the nap not knowing what dimension I'm in. And it always feels terrible.
Well, let me say this. Like, I feel like half the time when I nap, I like lay down and like barely drift asleep, but like don't really. So it's mostly just like me closing my eyes and
laying,
resting. But yeah, my gosh, what do you do when you're tired? I just power through.
Yeah, because when I nap, it's like not like a 20-minute nap. It's like I am napping for hours.
Yeah.
So maybe I should just try like a 20-minute power nap.
Yeah, I think NASA says like 26 minutes, but like I can't set an alarm, a timer for that because then I'll just be stressed about.
Why NASA?
I don't know.
Why is now NASA's done this research specifically?
I feel like that's something NASA would do research on.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually.
I read it in college.
Got it. Well, yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, I also had a very Sunday of cleaning, felt amazing. But Friday, Sophie and I went out to dinner with my good friends, Sam and Lauren, who have been dying to meet Sophie, and they finally met her. It was so much fun. Had a cute little girl night with some drinks, and then we went to Bar La Grassa for any Minneapolis area
peeps. Kiss.
Like the best Italian place. Mwah. Oh, it's so good. It is so, so good. I was so stuffed after that.
Yeah, and I did not
need that limoncello at the end. I was a little bit tuned up at the end of dinner.
So my Uber driver didn't have the AC on and I was like so full to the point of like feeling kind of nauseous full, you know, and it's like hot, but then he also had the windows rolled down on the highway and there was just a lot going on. Like I didn't love my Uber ride home, but I made it. Not my favorite, but
that's actually brutal.
Yeah, it was a lot. But yeah, it was a good night. I hope Sam and Lauren invite me out again.
They for sure will.
They were a good time.
Yeah, always some amazing stories coming from the two of them.
Yeah.
We'll have to have them on the pod sometime.
For sure we will. For sure.
Yes. So then Saturday, it's my grandpa turned 91 in January, but like COVID and January is cold and all of that. Mm-hmm. So we didn't get together for his 91st birthday. So we went to a park and had a 91 and a half birthday party for him.
Go Francis.
And it was really fun. Francis. It was a blast. Just like great seeing family that I haven't seen in a while, all of that. And then actually my grandma lives like a block away from where the birthday party was, grandma from a different side of the family. So I went to visit her afterwards and she's 95. She just turned 95 last weekend, which I actually couldn't go to because of a birthday or because I was at a wedding. So she had a big birthday party also last weekend that I can go to. So I went to her place this weekend to celebrate, and she still had like her 95 crown tiara and like a big banner hanging in her room.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna post it on the Instagram, the picture you sent me, because it was so cute.
It was adorable. So she, we just like chatted and it was so lovely. But then I called Sophie today to tell her about my weekend, and I just started bawling because
I'm going to cry again.
My grandparents are old and they've lived such amazing lives. And my grandma's 95, but she makes comments like, I gave her a hug. I'm like, oh, like happy birthday. I'm so sad I wasn't there. Like, 95 great years. And she was like, yep, hopefully my last.
Yeah, your grandma makes like dead jokes.
Yeah, and it's funny, kind of, but then I like leave, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
but yeah, so I started crying and then Sophie started crying and we just started talking about our potential losses and all of that, and it was quite an emotional morning for us.
Jenna and I have been so, so, so lucky to have grandparents in our lives up until this age. I have 3 out of my 4 grandparents still alive, which I feel like is just crazy. So, yeah. And they also, I grew up in the same city as them. So they were just like at every sporting event and have been to like every birthday and every holiday, which Jenna has a very similar experience as well. Mm-hmm. So, we're really grateful, but then it's like really hard because now we feel like we're actually now at the point where their lives are slowing down and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's sad and their health isn't as good, but trying to make the most of it. But Jenna's grandma and one of my grandmas, is they're like friends, or they used to be, like they used to quilt together.
Yeah, they were in like the church quilting club, right?
Yeah. And my grandma's always like, do you still hang out with that schlepper girl? She never knows your name, just knows Schlepper, because that's your mom's maiden name. That's
actually hilarious. That Schlepper girl.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I do. A lot.
Yep. We actually spend almost every waking moment together besides work.
Pretty much. Yeah, it was emotional and I just got teary-eyed again. So I'm ready to be done with this topic.
Okay. Anyways, cheers to Rose and Francis, to 91 and a half and 95 amazing years.
Happy birthday.
Happy, happy days. All right. So I forgot to update everybody on this, but I have 2 updates. Run update. I don't like update. It sounds weird. So I'm just going to say run update. I have submitted an application.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not really an application. I've submitted a raffle to run the 10 mile in the Twin Cities, which is like kind of a competitive race to get into, not like to run, but like to actually get into the race. So a lot of people want to run it, so it's hard to get in. So hopefully I get into that and then I can finally, I've never actually ran a race before, so it'd be really fun if that was my first race. So I'm going to start training, acting like I got in.
Yeah.
So that's the update on that. And then also I finished The 7 Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. It's a book. I finished it a handful of weeks ago and I forgot to update everybody. Really good. People love it. Like, it's some people's favorite book of all time. I wouldn't say that for me. Like, it's a good book. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It's very entertaining. And like at the end, it like was tied together magnificently, but like, it's not in my like top 5 or top 10, but it's like a good solid read if you want like an entertaining read. It's good. Have you read it?
Yeah, I read it before you.
Oh, duh.
I've been like waiting for you to finish.
Wait, did you give
it.
Me the book? Oh no, I bought the book. Never mind. Okay, so essentially, summary without spoiling.
Okay, Evelyn Hugo is the famous actress. Yes. Of the book, and she had 7 husbands, and everyone just like always like wants to know like why she never settled down, like who's the next man, who is her one true love. And as she starts telling her story to this like ghostwriter to write her like memoir, her
true love is story revealed.
comes out.
Yes. Yeah. It's really good. And actually the whole time I was reading it, I'm like, why do I feel like Taylor Swift is ghostwriting this book right now under a pseudonym? I know she's, because it's by Taylor Jenkins Reid, which is a known author. So I know it's not Taylor Swift, but I'm like, why do I feel like this is Taylor Swift?
Yeah, I saw someone on TikTok that was like, Taylor Swift is Evelyn Hugo.
Literally. And Taylor Swift has like dropped hints that she's going to be writing a book, kind of, or like eventually would maybe come up with a book, you know, the All Too Well music video.
Oh yeah. So she should write a book.
This is her book, but obviously it's not. So anyways, good read, really entertaining. I like how it wrapped up. I read it on a plane and I was bawling at the end.
Of course.
I get very emotionally attached.
I feel like it could be top 10 just because I haven't read as many books as you. But yeah, like I'm not like, everyone needs to read this book. It was very good. It was a good page turner. I feel like it was a very good like beach read or travel read or something. Like that's how I would describe it. I kept wanting to like pick it up.
Yes, me too. So it was really good. I think I tend to gravitate towards the books that are in my top five are always like a little bit. There's always a little bit deeper meaning than just like a good read. So that's kind of how I base like how books are good. So, which leads me into my next book that I'm already halfway through. I'm reading on my Kindle, so I always forget the name of it. Beautiful World, Where Are You? And it's by Sally Rooney, who's the author of Normal People and Conversations with Friends. So my favorite author, because Conversations with Friends is my top book I've ever read.
Yeah.
I'm halfway through this book and I'm obsessed. It's so good.
I need to read. You have Normal People, or EJ has it now or something.
Yeah.
Or Conversations with Friends. Which one does she have? Or do you have
I think
both?
I gave Normal People to Hannah and Conversations with Friends to Erin. So you'll need to track those down.
Yeah. I need them.
I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so good. But like, it's so normal. Like, I just love how she writes people. It's so fascinating. And the people in her books are always like, they have like leftist agendas.
Nice.
So I'm always like, yeah, I get that. You know what I mean? Like, I love when they go into like ideological rants, because I'm just like, you know, it's spoon feeding to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really good. I'm excited. I'll update when I finish, but that's my reading corner. For now.
Perfect. Love that.
Perfect.
Yeah. I'm still reading The Midnight Library. I kind of stopped. I want to be this person, but I just like don't think I'm going to like read before bed.
I do occasionally, and I always feel better when I do it.
Yeah.
I think what you need to do is like literally have like a time limit on like, or a time where you put the phone down, and if you're still awake, you read.
Yeah.
So I started doing that, but I haven't really kept up with it. But like my time, like I would like be done with TikTok or like done on my phone was 10. And then if I was still really awake, I would read.
I guess my issue is that I fall asleep to TV, which I know is also a bad habit.
No judgments here.
Yeah. Or like a podcast. Anyway, we don't need to get into my sleeping habits, but I want to be that person. But I find myself like only really reading when I'm like outside or like on a plane. That might be it. I'm like a fair weather reader.
Yeah. And that's also a good way to read. So
yeah. Anyway. I forgot. Oh, dating corner.
Yep, dating corner. I was going to prompt you. Don't worry, I didn't forget.
Oh, I should update. I should also update about the plants.
Please. Because
the pod doesn't know about
Let's
that.
Do plants first.
Yeah. So I went on a date with this guy who I mentioned on a previous podcast. He is moving to California this week, actually. And we just went on the one date. And then after I discovered he was moving, I was like, well, I'm not going to like invest time and energy into this man, even though it was like a good date, whatever. But he was like, yeah, I'm moving. So like, he was like kind of kidding. Like, I'm moving. If you want anything, let me know. But on the date, like, we had talked about plants and how I was like really into plants. He's like, well, you can have my plants if you want. So like, of course I took him up on the offer. Like, I want plants.
And I was picturing like a lot of plants.
Yeah. So I have some theories. So, yeah, like we don't really talk over for like, whatever, over the 4th, like the holiday, whatever. And then he reaches out and he's like, hey, do you want to pick up these plants? Like, I'm moving soon. And I was like, sure. So anyway, last week I went and picked up the plants. I went to his apartment, which I shared my location with someone, so don't worry, but I did go by myself.
I'm offended you didn't share it with me.
I shared it with Sarah because I was going to the Saints game.
Oh yeah, you're after. Right. You're right.
So I was like, in case I don't show up to our meeting spot, like, here's where I am. I don't know how much detail I should go into. Apartment's not very nice. It's kind of dumpy. It's a condo that he rents from someone. It's just like not in good shape, not like the nicest area in the world, whatever. But like, I show up and he's like, okay, here are my plants. And it's like one big snake plant I'm looking at right now, like a pretty mature snake plant. And then like the exact same plant in like a small pot. So just like another snake plant. And then like another small pot of like flowers. And he's like, I feel bad like making you come. He's like, oh, here are my plants. I used to have more, but like a couple of them died since we last talked. And I felt bad having you come all the way here. So I got you like this pot of flowers, like essentially.
Which was a great gesture.
No, it was. Here, they're sitting above the, you can like kind of see.
Oh, they're cute. Purple. Yeah.
Yeah. But like upon further inspection, he totally also bought the smaller snake plant at the same time he bought the flowers, because like they both came in the same pot and they both had like the paper wrapping around them. And then like in the thing, like,
no way. Like, that's hilarious actually.
Yeah. So,
so he was just trying to hang.
Yeah, I think he was like just trying to hang out and I was like, no, I'm just trying to get plants.
No, I'm literally just trying to get your plants.
Yeah. And so like I got there and I was there for like 30 minutes. Like we chatted and he was like trying to pawn other things off to me. And I was like, I literally don't need plates and Tupperware, but thank you. And then I was like, well, I have to go. Like I was going to lie and say I had plans anyway, but I actually did have plans. And then he's like, oh, okay. Yeah, whatever. Like helps me carry the stuff out to my car. And then that was it.
That's amazing and actually iconic.
Yeah. yeah, I think he had other intentions, but that's okay. We don't need to assume, but I did get plants.
Hey, and free plants and like fresh plants, apparently.
I mean, all I'm saying is like a guy I met once on Hinge got me flowers, even though we had no intentions of like ever hanging out again because we knew he was moving.
Yeah.
That was pretty sweet.
That is a good move. And you know, I liked your escape plan. So
yeah,
thank you for doing that as well.
Yeah.
Then you went on another date recently too.
Yeah. So then I went on another date actually before this plant pickup, but I'm gonna keep things vague, but his nickname can be Cousin because
Cousin, no.
Oh yeah, you're right. That's so weird.
We cannot do that as the nickname. That is mortifying.
You're right.
Okay, so it's one of our friend's cousins.
It's not my cousin.
Which is why Sophie wanted his nickname to be Cousin, but okay, no. We can have the nickname be Beer. Because you had two beers.
I only had one beer with him, but
oh.
That's beside the point. Anyway.
He can be walk guy. Because you went on a walk with him. Now I'm just revealing all of the date.
Yeah. Okay. It does. Yeah.
Friend, cousin.
TBD, we'll think of something better. But yeah, so it's a good friend's cousin, and she like wanted to set us up a couple months ago, but I don't know. I just was feeling like maybe that was kind of weird. I don't know. It sounds so weird to be like, I feel like it'd be more natural to come across each other on a dating app, because that's like so not correct.
Yeah.
Something about like her texting him being like, you should ask my friend out or whatever, just felt like a lot of pressure on them. I don't know.
For sure.
But this is like how dating is. So like, I shouldn't have felt that weird, but it doesn't matter. We did come across each other on a dating app anyway. So it worked out. Good date. I would go on another date with him. We have not talked about another date. He has been traveling. So TBD, I guess. We've been in touch, but.
So that's positive though, to have out of 3 dates, to have 2 good dates and 1 bad date.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, totally. But yeah, so that's my dating corner. Nothing as juicy, but it was a good date. Yeah. That's, we went for great. A walk. We grabbed a beer.
Good steps. Yes. Literally.
Yeah. Good steps.
You went on a walk.
Yeah.
So sure. Now I just was recalling what we were going to call the dating corner.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Sophie's friend Nick gave us a recommendation to be the dating carousel, because Sophie's last name isn't intertwined into that. So it'd be the dating carousel. Do you like that as a
like carousel?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, or I like
we
that.
We have Sophie's sexy suitors. Or
it's a little aggressive.
Sparks with Soph.
That's also cute.
Or
there's another one.
The Soph opera.
Like drama.
Yeah. Or Sophie's trophies.
Oh yes, that was funny too. Dang, those are, I forgot how good all of those were.
I kind of like the dating carousel the best.
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, so that was the dating carousel. Thanks for joining.
I kind of like the carousel too, because it's like you go round and round. Like I might see the,
yeah, because there's not sparks with everybody. Sparks with Soap doesn't apply, as we know clearly with Ice Cream Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. No, so brainstorm a name for Walkman, but if you are not interested in pursuing, or if nothing happens, we can just ixnay the name.
Yeah. Cool. Yep. Stay tuned. But that's my dating update.
That's the dating carousel.
And thanks for coming to the dating carousel.
We'll see you next time. All right. So with that, I'm going to get into the story. I have horrible, and I am going to talk about the puzzling disappearance of Walter Collins. Does that ring a bell?
No.
Okay. So my sources are medium.com and BuzzFeedUnsolved.com. So I think this might be somewhat familiar once you hear the details, but I like remembered hearing about it, but didn't like know the details. So it was actually fascinating. So I shall get into those now. So Walter Collins, who was born September 23rd, 1918, was just an ordinary 9-year-old boy living in Lincoln Heights, Los Angeles. He lived with his mother, Christine, who worked as a phone operator. So it was just those two.
Okay.
It was March 10th, 1928, and it was a nice spring day. Walter asked his mother, Christine, for money to watch a movie. He was given a penny, and he immediately rushed to the screening area not too far from his house. So a penny to see a movie.
Jeez. Back in the day.
Back in my day. Yeah. So it was getting dark, but Walter never came back. So his mother was worried with fear, and Christine, his mother, went to all of the houses of Walter's friends one by one, but none of them knew where Walter was either. the city itself was actually still reeling in trauma because about 3 months earlier, they had been a kidnapping of a 12-year-old boy, Marianne Parker. The kidnapper initially demanded ransom. The kidnapper was William Hickman, who was also nicknamed the Fox. And he was...
he was the one who did the kidnapping.
Yeah, okay. Of this 12-year-old boy. And he was actually deemed a psychopath later on. Okay. And the victim, the victim of the 12-year-old boy, Marion, was actually kidnapped and mutilated devastatingly. So Hickman was arrested. Die? Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Yeah. So Hickman, who was the perpetrator of that crime, was arrested, but the town was still reeling from all of that trauma. So yeah. When Walter's mother contacted the police, they immediately paid great attention to the case because of prior
incidences. Good. Sometimes that doesn't always happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there was a huge campaign to find Walter, and the search was conducted massively. Unfortunately, the search seemed to be deadlocked, and Walter remained undiscovered. And there was also a lot of sightings, quote unquote, of him all over. And one person claimed to see a boy that looked like Walter near north of San Francisco. So according to this person that thought they saw him, they said they saw a boy at a gas station in Glendale. He was sitting in the back seat of a car, but unfortunately they could only see his head. The bottom of his body was covered in newspapers. The owner of the gas station explained the physical characteristics of the rider. He said the man driving the car was foreign-faced, like possibly Italian, and with him was a woman. Initially, both Christine, his mother, and the police suspected that Walter was kidnapped by his father's enemies. So Walter's father, who is also named Walter, was actually in prison. So they thought that this could have been a motive for revenge. Walter's father also happened to have the same name as his son. So Walton Collins Sr. was in prison for armed robbery, and he was in the Folsom State Prison. So that's kind of what they were suspecting when they got that tip.
Yeah.
The case of Walter Collins received national attention, and the LA Police Department also did. They followed up with hundreds of reports of leads, but still no avail. The police immediately faced negative publicity and increased public pressure to resolve the case, like, as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
5 months after Walter's disappearance, a boy named Walter was found. So he was found in Illinois, and Christine got the news that they found her son, Walter, and was absolutely delighted. She paid $70 to meet Walter and bring him back to Los Angeles, which back in that day was $70 was a lot more money. I don't know how much it was. We'd have to do that.
But a good chunk of change.
Yeah. So the police organized a public reunion, so it'd be like good publicity for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And more at that time, the police were also being hit by a corruption scandal that tarnished the police department's reputation. So this was like this was supposed to be like something that was really good for them.
Yeah.
So when the two of them reunited, when Christine and Walter reunited, Christine stated that the child was not her son.
Ugh.
Captain J.J. Jones, the officer in charge of the case, told Christine to take the boy home first for a few weeks. Christine tried to push back, but eventually she agreed and was forced to take the child home at the same time. 3 weeks later, Christine returned to Captain Jones and insisted the boy was not Walter Collins. Christine was then, quote unquote, lodged in a psychiatric ward in LA or in LA County under Code 12, which is a term used to jail or commit somebody deemed difficult or inconvenient. So, crazily enough. Yeah.
I have not heard this story. This is unreal.
Okay. Yeah. So the boy who said he was Walter managed to convince the police and the psychiatrist that he was Walter Collins. Finally, Captain J.J. Jones specifically investigated this case. He felt there was something strange about the child. It's like, yeah, no shit. The mom's been telling you this for over a month. Now he's like, something seems off.
Yeah, actually, let me check into this.
Like, yeah.
Jones. My favorite is like, just take him for a few weeks and see. It. Like,
take him for a few weeks. Like, what?
No.
So Jones sent the child to a psychiatrist at LA County General Hospital. And for several days, Jones tried to get information from the child. Apparently his guess was correct. It's like, no, apparently the mother was correct. The kid was a con man. He admitted to being a 12-year-old named Arthur Hutchins from Iowa. According to his story, his mother passed away and he was taken into care by his stepmother, Violet Hutchins. His stepmother apparently mistreated him. Arthur was locked up and tortured and then decided to run away using public transportation, which like is also a really sad and devastating story.
I feel like labeling him as a con artist is not.
I know he's a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah. As soon as you said that, I'm like, why is this 12-year-old boy like trying to manipulate people like this? But it's like, he was also running from his own demons and like hardships. It's not like exactly. He wanted.
No, and I just said con man because that's what JJ Jones, the investigator, said.
No, I could tell like you had like read it from a quote. So it's like, don't. Yeah. I just don't think that's the correct label that they put on him.
No, this whole thing is messed up. Like the mother is like, this is not my son, but they're like, oh, we'll just take him home. And then she fights because she knows her son is still out there. And she goes back and they literally lock her up in a psychiatric unit.
Yeah.
And then the investigating officer goes, my instinct tells me something's not right.
Yeah.
No shit. The mom has been telling you this for weeks.
No. Just no.
Yeah, like really bad. So Arthur, not Walter, but now known as Arthur. one day when he was in Illinois, he stopped at a cafe. According to his description, he heard that an LA boy disappeared at that time. And a roadside drifter told him that he looked super similar to the child. So the child's photo, which was Walter, was displayed everywhere, and Arthur saw him and saw it was a golden opportunity to take.
Yeah.
He was like, wow, I could have a new family, see Hollywood, which had been a lifelong dream for him. He adjusted his appearance to look more like Walter in the photo and then went to the police station and claimed to be Walter.
Yeah.
So after all of this was discovered, Christine was released from the hold.
Psych ward.
Psych ward. And that was after Hutchins admitted that he was not, in fact, Walter. So Christine filed a lawsuit against the LAPD, and she actually won the lawsuit against J.J. Jones and was awarded $10,800 in damages. And Jones actually never paid this, so she never saw the money, but she did win the lawsuit.
Okay.
Which I don't know how that works. Like, how do you just, like, not pay?
I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't check out to me.
Yeah. But. So, despite years of search efforts, Walter was actually never found. Super unfortunate. Yeah. So he was actually suspected of being a victim of a serial murder of children known as the Wineville Chicken Coop murders.
Oh.
So one theory was that he was, you know, kidnapped because of his dad. And then the other theory is this Wineville Chicken Coop murders. So these murders was a case that occurred in Riverside County, California in 1926 through 1928. And it was exactly in that time frame that Walter disappeared.
Yeah.
In this murder case, a man named Gordon Stewart Northcott kidnapped children, and then he took them to a chicken farm in Northcott's in Wineville. And the young victims were abused, tortured, and killed, which is just so sad.
Yeah.
Gordon committed these terrible acts with the help of his mother. Like, actually, what the fuck?
No.
Yeah.
That's sad.
So by the time this is kind of graphic. So if you want to skip ahead 30 seconds, feel free. By the time the police raided the chicken farm, They had found many limbs that were no longer intact, buried under, and just like kind of found them like randomly strewn about.
Yeah.
It was thought that Walter may have been one of those victims, but it wasn't like these victims weren't easily identifiable.
Yeah, I was going to say, sounds like they weren't able to like do DNA or anything.
Yeah. So Walter's mother, Christine, actually met Gordon Northcott. After the first meeting, though, she felt still sure that her son was alive. She asked the man if he had killed her son, and Gordon had just like swirling and inconsistent answers. So she concluded that Gordon was crazy. However, later, Gordon sent Christine a telegram just a few days before his execution, and he told her that he lied and that he actually did have Walter as one of his victims. So Gordon promised to tell the truth if Christine came to meet him herself just hours before his execution. Christine visited Gordon, but when Gordon saw Christine arrive, he refused and he said, "I don't want to see you. I don't know anything about that, and I'm innocent." Ugh. Like, really?
It's so frustrating.
Yeah. So a news report said that Christine, angered by Gordon's response, was also comforted that Gordon's ambiguous answer gave her hope that Walter was still alive. For years, Christine had refused to believe that her son was a part of the Wineville chicken coop murders. And then for 36 years, Christine never gave up looking for Walter, and she passed away on December 8th, 1964. And really, really unfortunately, Walter has still never been found to this day.
Yeah.
So that is the really, really, really sad and weird story of the disappearance of Walter Hollins.
Yeah, I have never heard that before.
Yeah. I heard of like Arthur trying to switch into place of of Walter, but I didn't like know the extent of what all happened.
It's yeah, so that's sad. Really sad.
Yeah.
So sad. I just imagine it is so hard when you have no closure. Like,
yeah, no closure. And like my whole life too, I would spend looking. How could you not? It's just it seemed like there was no even credible lead.
Yeah. And I feel like in this situation, like the simplest answer typically always is the answer. And I'm no detective, whatever, but it just kind of feels like, you know, he maybe was victim of the
well, especially killer. Because this guy was like right before he died, all of a sudden was like, come here and I'll tell you. And then this guy was very unstable and
even if like he wasn't the one who took Walter's life, like it still seems like the simplest answer is that Walter's probably not alive and like wasn't out there, which is still really sad. But of course you can never give up hope. So like I don't blame his mom, but that's really tragic. It was a really tragic story.
So sad.
But I'm surprised I've never heard of it. So I'm glad you told it. I was very intrigued.
I actually looked into then what happened with Arthur Hutchins, who was pretending to be Walter.
Yeah.
And he actually grew up to like live a full life. He grew up selling concessions at carnivals and even made it back to California as a horse trainer and jockey. However, he died of a blood clot in 1954, leaving behind a wife and young daughter. So he did, you know, go on to have a family and all of that.
Yeah.
But he actually said, "I know I owe an apology to Mrs. Collins and to the state of California." Because he went after that incident with pretending to be Walter, he went into 2 years in the Iowa State Training School for Boys. So I think that was like, what do you call it when you juvenile? It's kind of crazy. And actually the reason I think I've probably heard of this is there's a movie made out of this.
Oh,
and it's called Challenging. Which
I've not heard of that either.
And what's her name? Jolie.
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie. How did I not remember? Yeah. Okay, so Angelina Jolie was in the movie Challenging in 2008, which is like it's exactly this story.
Okay.
Yeah, and it demonstrates it. Yeah. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
It is crazy.
Thanks for sharing. Shall we get into happy?
Yeah. I'm sure you heard this story talked about. I took it from another podcast. So credit to Two Hot Takes, which is, I think, Jenna's like favorite podcast, but
it is my favorite podcast, but I don't know what story you're going to cover.
I have been listening to it more. My source is Two Hot Takes, and I believe she found the story on Reddit, but like I couldn't find the original Reddit post. So I can't like source that, but this is a story about like an unlikely story about organ donation.
Oh, I did hear this story.
Yeah, I think it's like the second most recent episode.
Yeah.
And it was Reddit, so there was no names given. So hopefully you can follow along. I tried to keep it clear.
Mm-hmm.
So at 18 years old, a young adult male was in need of a heart transplant. He had been waiting on a list for months when he received a call that would change his life. The young male and his mother wrote letters to send to the family of the organ donor to show appreciation for the organ donations. However, they never heard back as the family of the donor chose not to have contact with the recipient, the 18-year-old man. So he goes through the transplant and it's successful. And fast forward to years later, this man would meet his now current girlfriend and the two became serious. And although he knew his girlfriend's brother had tragically passed away years ago, he never really knew any details. She was very private about it and didn't talk about it much.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the girlfriend's brother's birthday, she wanted to visit his grave as a way to celebrate and remember him, and the boyfriend joined. This would be the first time the girlfriend really opened up about her brother's accident to the boyfriend. She said he had gotten into a car accident and had to be put on life support, and the family would eventually have to make the hard decision to take him off.
Mm-hmm.
She revealed that her brother was an organ donor. Sorry, I lost my spot. She revealed that her brother was an organ donor, but this wasn't what initially had tipped off the boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He had noticed the date of her brother's death was the same date he received the news that he was getting a new heart.
Right.
So this sparked a conversation between them about the organ donation, and the girlfriend revealed that they did receive a letter from the recipient, but had never opened it. So the boyfriend and girlfriend approached the girlfriend's mother about opening the letter. And after a long conversation and making sure everyone felt comfortable, they decided to open the letter that had never been opened before, because I think it was just too painful at the time.
Yeah, which makes sense. Like if you're, this is a happy time for the recipient, but it's absolutely devastating for the donor's family.
Yes, I imagine it was like really hard to celebrate their new life while losing the life of your loved one.
Right.
So I think they just never opened it and then they kind of forgot about it. So they opened the letter, and even though the boyfriend had only used his first name when writing the letter, he remembered every word he had written back when he was 18. So essentially they discovered that was the letter he had sent.
That is crazy.
He was the recipient of his girlfriend's brother's heart, and they are now dating. And today, as of the Reddit post, they were still together and they're actually expecting a child together and consider each other the loves of their life.
That's so cute.
Yeah. So that's a short story. It was much better read because she read the original post, but I couldn't find it on Reddit. But like, cause when I was like in the process of Googling, trying to just find it, there's like stories kind of like this, or at least like yeah, like these connections are made between like family of the organ donor and the recipient of the organ.
Yeah.
Like there's like a lot of stories out there, which was really, really cool.
That's crazy. See.
Yeah. But I don't know. That's just so special.
It is so special. It's
what the odds are.
Yeah. Like, oh my goodness. Yeah. To find that out is like, it's probably like, it's never going to bring the brother back.
Yeah.
But it must feel like some sort of like, I don't know, like not healing in a way, but just like some special connection with him, the boyfriend and the family now.
Yeah. It's like almost like his presence is some,
yeah, somewhat he's around. Like, he helps sustain another life. Organ donation is crazy and incredible. And I'm a donor. Yeah. You're a donor. Everyone should be a donor if you want to do that.
Yeah. On a previous episode, I listed some information about organ donation. So yes. Go back. But when you get your license, when you renew your license, just checkbox that you want to be an organ donor. Mm-hmm. It's a very easy way to do it. But yeah, that was my story. I just thought that was so touching.
Chills. Chills hearing it even again.
Yeah.
It's so good. Oh, oh.
Very special.
The world is weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
It is weird.
Life is weird.
Life is very weird. And I feel like that was like Morgan's reaction onto Hot Takes. Like yes. She just was crying and she was just like, life is so crazy, man.
Yeah, life is crazy. I don't necessarily believe in like everything happens for a reason because I don't know. You know, I don't necessarily believe that. But yeah. Then weird things like this happen and you're just like, wow, life is so weird.
There's got to be something going on here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. All right, cool. Well, thanks for that little recap, a little palate cleanser for us. Super appreciate. All right, guys, your assignment this week is to share this podcast with a friend that might not have heard of us. So just, you know, be like, hey, I have these two cool girls that you'd love, and then share our pod with them.
Also, they tell good stories and they gossip about their lives. They're so relatable.
So relatable. Also, leave a review if you haven't. Rate, review, subscribe. We love you. Have a great week and stay happy.
As happy as you can be.
Bye. My dad hates that bye that we do.